Good afternoon. Thank you for tuning in. Welcome to the Paul DeWayne Show. Hey, I've got a really cool show for you today. Conflict. Let's talk about that for a second. Conflict is something we all have to deal with. And whether that be either hand-to-hand conflict or verbal, we all have to deal with it at times. We all have people come at us aggressively in a fighting way sometimes, and we have to know how to deal with that. So many times the people that come at us looking for a fight are people that we care about or that we ought to be caring about. They are people that we have to deal with again, whether it be a business partner, a lover, a family member, a friend. And so it becomes really important that we know not just how to defend ourselves from some jackass on the street that's trying to steal your wallet, that's one thing, but how to defend yourself either physically or more commonly just emotionally and mentally from incoming attacks of other people that you know and care about. And most importantly, how to deal with those conflicts in a way that's constructive and doesn't create an even bigger mess for you to clean up the next day. You know what I mean? You've still got to deal with these people. I became familiar with a martial art that teaches this very thing. Have you ever heard of Aikido? I heard about it a while ago and heard somebody mention that it's all about taking the incoming energy from your opponent and redirecting it back towards them in a way that protects you and protects them. It's a very graceful, efficient way of engaging in self-defense, with that emphasis on protecting your opponent, which I thought was really interesting. And so while on some level, today's conversation is about hand-to-hand combat, because it is a martial art, there is a philosophy behind this as well of just how we deal with other people and how we deal with incoming conflict energy. And so anyway, I loved the conversation. I had a couple guys come into the radio station over at K-Talk 630 and come on the episode of stand-up commentary a couple nights ago. A couple of guys from the local Aikido dojo, one of them. Anyway, they came in and were very gracious to give me a couple hours of their time and talk about this. And one observation I got to make, both of these guys looked much younger than they actually were. Although they clearly have the ability to kick ass, they don't look like the conventional badass types. They both work in corporate situations and they have a very professional appearance, but you can tell that if push came to shove, these guys would come out on top and you'd just go flying across the room. You would not have your way with them. The other thing about them was they both had a very distinct sense of, a very distinct air of quiet dignity and power that you don't see in a lot of people. It was very intriguing. I'm definitely going to be checking out Aikido myself. I think in the next week or two, I'm going to make it out to the dojo and check it out, see what that's all about. Really resonated with me. I hope you like the show. I hope you enjoy what they're saying. I hope you get something out of it, mostly. So, that being said, I'm going to stop talking and let's cut over to today's interview with the gentleman from Salt Lake, Aikikai. This is Paul DeWayne. You're listening to stand-up commentary. Welcome to the show. Hope you're having a beautiful Monday. How's that Monday treating you? How was your weekend? Had a pretty brilliant weekend on my end. Thank you very much. Thanks to everybody that was involved in that. Let's see, a lot going on in the news, a lot going on in life. Today's show is going to be so fun. This is one I've been planning for a while. I'm excited to share this with you. But first, I want to talk to you about a phone call I had with my mom. So my mother, sweetest lady there ever was, she is the quintessential Utah Mormon mom. Big globe hair, you know, she's in her early 60s, Relief Society president, nicest lady that there ever was, and also most conservative lady that there ever was. My mom, when she watches movies, she evaluates how good a movie is by how few times the main characters kiss in the movie. That's her personal rating system for movies, and she doesn't matter how bad the plot was or how stupid the dialogue was, if it was clean, it's good in her book. That's my dear mother. And Anyway, so a couple weeks ago we were talking, and we end up talking about politics a lot. And, you know, she's not so conservative that she loves Donald Trump. She's horrified by him as well, and she's also horrified by Hillary Clinton. And so that's something that she and I have in common. And so we were talking about that a bit. And, you know, I hope you're sitting down for this, but I took the opportunity to share my testimony of Gary Johnson with her and the Libertarian Party. And we got talking a bit, and she hadn't really heard too much about Gary Johnson. She's heard me mention him a bit, and she's kind of heard about him on the news a bit. But we got talking and started sharing some of his positions with her. And, you know, I mentioned to her that one of the basic tenets of libertarianism, it's all about liberty. It's about freedom. It's about getting the government out of the way of you making choices for yourself. And getting the government out of your bedroom and out of your wallet. And I mentioned to her that, you know, Gary Johnson was he's pro-choice. He's been, which she hates. He's against the war on drugs, which she hates. She thinks all drugs are bad. All the things, including coffee, tea, and alcohol, and everything else, is terrible, terrible. And so she thinks there should be a war on all of those things. And I mentioned that he has always been an advocate for marriage equality. Big problem there, too. She doesn't like that. So a couple weeks ago, our conversation ended a bit tensely with her being really, really skeptical of this Gary Johnson guy that's just wanting to legalize everything. Well, I sent her a couple of videos, and one in particular, one where him and Bill Weld are talking about their platforms. And one of the things that's remarkable about the Johnson campaign, Johnson and Weld campaign, is they spend very little time talking about their opponent, let alone attacking them. They are notoriously friendly guys, and they don't spend a lot of time attacking Hillary or Trump. If you ask about them, they may make a comment, but on the CNN town hall, for instance, Gary Johnson was talking about how he likes Hillary Clinton. He's running against her, but he likes her as a person and feels like she's a competent person. He just feels like he's better for the job. And a really different tone. It's very positive and non-confrontational. And it takes a lot of people by surprise. A lot of people aren't quite sure how to deal with that. I was interested to see how my mom was going to take this. And so a couple nights ago, it was last night. I think last night or last night was Sunday night. Okay. So we were talking, and she had watched the videos and said, you know, I don't agree with him. I don't like all of his positions, but I think I'm going to vote for him. And we got talking, and she's coming from that perspective of he's not Clinton and he's not Trump, and he seems like a really nice guy. So let's go with that. And so she's ready to feel the Johnson. And not only that, my sweet little mom is going to be telling her friends and family about Gary Johnson, because they are all desperate for a third choice. And still, up in Logan, where she lives, not a lot of people know about the Libertarian Party, or I don't know. They're secluded up there in the Wellsvilles and the Wasatch Mountains. They don't hear about a lot of things, I guess. You'd think they have TV, but I don't know what they're doing. I don't know. A lot of people don't know, but it's really exciting to see that she's going to spread the word. So, where am I going with this? One of the things I'm really interested in life in general is the way we deal with conflict and the way we deal with opponents. And that's one of the things I've been really fascinated with the Johnson campaign is that he won 2 terms as governor of New Mexico by running totally positive campaigns. He didn't even mention his opponent by name. None of that stuff. It's really unconventional politics. And to see that this Republican guy could win 2 elections in a row by a landslide in a Democratic state by keeping it positive and taking control of the narrative and taking control of the flow of energy with this whole thing, he could win. It's fascinating. So to the topic today, we're going to be talking about dealing with opponents, dealing with conflicts. A while ago, I don't even remember where, I became exposed to this idea, this martial art called Aikido. I didn't know anything about it, but somebody explained very, very briefly that it's Aikido deals with the redirection of the energy of your opponent in a way that protects you and protects your opponent. It's not about kicking anyone's butt, per se. It's a much more peaceful pursuit. So on the show today, I've got two gentlemen from the local dojo that practices Aikido here in Salt Lake City. They're going to be talking to us about this really interesting martial art. We're going to get into it. I don't know anything about it, so we're going to start at the beginning. So come along on that ride. We'll be back in just a few minutes on Stand Up Commentary. Ladies and gentlemen, and everyone in between, the show, as you may know, is recorded here in the heart of the American West in Salt Lake City, Utah. Our great city was carved out of the Rocky Mountains by the Mormon prophet Brigham Young, the Moses of the American West. Things were not so squeaky clean back then. Brigham had a hitman that did all of his dirty work. His name was Porter Rockwell. One of Brigham's so-called destroying angels, he once defended his marksmanship and honor by saying, "I've never shot at anybody. If I shoot, they get shot." He's still alive, isn't he? The crew at Five Wives Vodka celebrates Porter Rockwell's reputation with a cinnamon-infused whiskey called Porter's Fire. This is a perfectly balanced cinnamon-infused whiskey that is delicious both neat, on ice, or in cocktails. My favorite way to drink Porter's Fire is over ice. Sip it slowly, taste the vanilla notes. It's delicious. This excellent whiskey will be just a real treat. For those of you here in Utah, you can buy Porter's Fire at any of the state liquor stores. My listeners outside of Utah can buy it online at hightimewine.net. That's HITIMEWINE.net. Hightimewine.net. Search for Porter's Fire. His face and his glaring eyes will be hard to miss on the label. So pick up a bottle of Porter's Fire. Share that with your friends tonight. You guys are going to love it. Stand Up Commentary. This is Paul DeWayne. Thank you for joining us tonight. The number here in the studio, you know the drill. Get out a black marker. Write this on your forehead so you'll always know where to find it. 801-254-5855 is the number. Do feel free to be part of the conversation tonight. So the topic tonight, we're talking about, I think on a broader perspective, we're talking about conflict and how to engage in conflict with people in a productive way. The minutia of this, we're talking about the martial art called Aikido. And tonight in the studio, I have two gentlemen from the local dojo, which is called Salt Lake Aikikai. Did I say that right?
That's right.
Okay. And we've got Jerry Carpenter. He's a second-degree black belt. He is one of the assistant instructors there. And one of the senseis from the dojo, Philippe Weifels. Did I say that right?
That's right. Weifels.
Okay, great. Gentlemen, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you for inviting us.
Good stuff. We've been talking about having this conversation for a while, Jerry, and finally got it together.
I'm glad we did. Yeah, yes. That's exciting.
So let's start at the very beginning. What is Aikido? How would you define that succinctly?
Well, Aikido is called martial art because of its origin. But it's a martial art that's interesting and very paradoxical because it doesn't have competition.
Okay.
It's not in the Olympics, you know. So you practice Aikido to grow. Okay. It's a way that you go along, that you step on a path, and it takes a long time to develop yourself in Aikido. So Aikido basically was created by a Japanese that we call O-sensei. It's a new martial art. He really had some kind of epiphany in the 30s. And he found out that basically a martial art only makes sense if it's to save lives. Mm. Therefore, Aikido is basically you train to resolve conflict as quickly as possible without having anybody harmed.
Whereas some of the other martial arts have more of an emphasis on hurting or disabling your opponent?
Hurting, showing that you're right, that you're more powerful, that you can just annihilate somebody. This is not what we do at all.
And so the founder of this, his name is Oh Sensei?
Morie Ueshiba. And Oh Sensei is the name, the big teacher, if you want.
Okay.
Great teacher.
And he was around in the 30s.
So Morie Ueshiba, it was born in 1883.
Okay.
So he trained martial arts before World War I and participated in the Japanese Army in World War I. And that was a very formative experience for him and the art of Aikido, because he witnessed firsthand the horrors of war, the terrible things that people can do to each other. And when he came back from the war in the early 1920s and in the 1930s, he began to explore both personally and philosophically how he could continue to train Budo, or a martial art, but do it in a way that might bring peace to the world instead of increase the way we hurt each other. So Aikido is often referred to as the art of peace or the way of harmony, because it's designed to, as Philippe said, resolve conflict without actually disabling or killing your opponent. So it was a very interesting evolution for him. He trained the older martial arts. Primarily Aikido comes from Daito Ryu Jiu-Jitsu.
Jiu-Jitsu is something I've heard of.
Right. You're probably most familiar with Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu,
yes,
which has similar origins. But he also trained other martial arts like Judo, which is also an offshoot of Jiu-Jitsu. He adapted these to a form that could then be used to harmonize with your opponent and quickly resolve things without harming them.
I love that. I'm super interested in this. We have a call already. Let's jump on the line and take this call. Harvey, you there?
Yeah.
Harvey, what's your question for our guest today?
Well, the jiu-jitsu, I knew this star, Bob Yamaguchi, who introduced me to Terry Armel, who learned from Bruce Lee. Anytime somebody drops a name, it's so sickening. I want to smack them in the face. But
so, Harvey, have you trained in any of the martial arts?
Yeah, they used to blindfold me and beat me up.
Who's they?
Terry Arnell and Bob Yamaguchi. And anyway, push, pull, push.
And what did you learn from that experience?
Excuse me?
What did you learn from that experience, Harvey?
Run the other way.
Okay. Well, maybe you'll learn a new trick today or a new approach from our guests.
Hey, who are they?
We've got two gentlemen from the Salt Lake Aikido Dojo, the Salt Lake Aikikai.
Yep.
Yeah. Two of the instructors, the sensei and an assistant instructor. So sit tight, and we'll get into this. They'll tell you all about it.
I think it's a good discipline.
I do too. We're going to find out more. Thanks, Harvey. All right. Great. So those of you that do have questions or comments, do give us a call, 801-254-5855. The phone lines are open today. So that's the origins of Aikido come from Oh Sensei, his participation in the war and a desire to create a new adaptation of these martial arts that was focused on peace.
Right, yeah. You know, it stemmed in part from his martial training, but he also had a religious awakening. We don't typically talk about the religion aspects of it in the dojo, but he certainly had a religious awakening as well that helped him understand that he wanted to harmonize with the world around him, not just harmonize in the dojo or with your opponent in a combat situation,
right,
but actually harmonize in every aspect of your life. And so for someone who is interested in perhaps training a martial art, learning more about how they can protect themselves, but also become physically fit. Right. Aikido is a very complementary art to someone who has peaceful intentions in their life, and they're not necessarily looking for a way to go beat the crap out of somebody.
Right. Okay.
But you have to, if I may, if you have to put that into the context of the time. I mean, O-sensei was fighting in the Russian-Japanese war. He got jailed by the Chinese in Mongolia when the Japanese were over there. And then during World War II, which was quite something in Japan, you know, he was a rebel. He was against the flow of saying, you know, martial art, hundreds of years of experience in Japan, and, you know, it's to learn to kill the other, and, sure. and that's it. He was a rebel. And he said, you know what? I think it only really makes sense if we make peace through this. And that is absolutely, to me, I still don't understand how this guy came up with this, right? We're just trying to emulate what he inspired.
That's very interesting. In the little bit of Googling I've done about Aikido, there are mentions of spirituality all over the place. So I know you don't go into it in the dojo, but I am really curious, what are the spiritual underpinnings of this, and what was O-sensei's awakening that you're talking about?
Well, we go over it all the time, but we don't talk about it.
You go over it, but you don't talk about
that
it.
That means we just practice, you know, gotcha. Because you can, for example, you can read about Aikido, all the books that have been written.
Sure.
Okay? That doesn't make you an Aikido practitioner. That doesn't make you really understand what Aikido is all about. But we just train. You know, we make a ton of friends in Aikido, and we love to throw them around. Well, to throw a friend around in the air, very far away, you need the right intention. And to me, that is mobilizing a lot of spirituality.
Right. The photos I've seen of Aikido being practiced usually involve some guy flying through the air.
I regularly get thrown across the room by my teacher, Philippe Sensei.
And vice versa.
And vice versa.
And
we enjoy it, and we have a very, very close relationship.
So what's going on here, where you're throwing each other across the room? That sounds pretty violent, but yet there's this underpinning idea that it's not what it's about. It's not about hurting the other person. So,
no. Well, let me give you an example that happened to you, right? When you passed your test for the second degree, right? Earlier this year.
Right.
There is a part of the test where we just throw, you're being thrown in all directions, and possibly as surprising direction as can be. That's the test, right?
Okay.
And it lasts 20 minutes,
it was
half an hour.
It was longer than that.
And then you get to that spiritual point when it stops, you feel what toward your sensei?
The only word to describe it is love, because there's a connection, and I think we want to explore this a little bit more in detail at an appropriate point in the program, but Aikido is about the connection. The I in Aikido stands for harmony.
Mm-hmm.
Ki is energy, like chi or ki.
Right.
You know, we talk about it in all the martial arts. But ai is the harmony. And a critical aspect of Aikido is learning how to harmonize with your opponent, how to connect with them so that you can anticipate what they're going to do.
Mm.
You can react appropriately for the level of energy. If they're coming at you very powerfully, the reaction can be very powerful. If they're coming at you gently, it can be very gentle. But you need to learn to develop that harmony. And when you go through an experience like Philippe Tensei described here when I was tested for my second degree black belt, the result of that harmonization, that extended powerful harmonization, is that there is a connection, at the very least an emotional connection, but certainly I think there's a spiritual connection that you develop
right.
between teacher and student, or between person and opponent. And that connection is the harmony that is the power of
right.
Aikido.
It's the word that keeps coming to my mind as you two talk about this would be a profound respect. And respect is something that I think is a term that would be typical in talking about the relationship between a student and teacher and a sensei and any other martial art. But this seems a bit different, though, because it's not about, you know, kicking ass. It's about there's a higher level here of
absolutely
of cooperation or connection. It
absolutely
seems.
In this experience that we call jiuwaza, where you're being thrown away in all directions, it lasts long enough to exhaust the person completely. So all barriers are down. Mm-hmm. When the barriers are down, something else happened. But you have no energy. Your barriers are down, and you're being thrown all over the place. Then you, being thrown, realize that there is an energy here that is independent of your muscular force or strength. There is a connection, and there is ultimately an intention, which is the love that he's talking about, and you feel it as if it were thick and heavy.
Mm.
Means you really feel its presence. You
right.
Know? And I don't know, that's a cool experience.
I just had this vision in my mind of Luke Skywalker talking to Yoda.
Yeah,
honestly,
yeah,
I did. That's just what came to mind as you're talking about this. Talking about the force and what it is that pervades all things.
Well, you know, the key in Aikido, the energy, is something that's very real. And I don't view it as a mystical force.
Right.
Like Star Wars, but there's definitely a movement of energy.
So when we have to take a break right now.
Okay.
We're going to hear a few words from our sponsors. So when we come back, I want to talk about that flow of energy. I want to talk about the spiritual underpinnings of it and O Sensei's spiritual epiphany. I'm very interested in this. So you guys know the drill. If you need any of the things these people are advertising, go buy it from them. Tell them you heard it on K-Talk. If you don't need it, though, don't buy it. Do not. But if you do, you know where to go. Tell them you heard it here. We'll see you back here in a few minutes.
Even though there's nothing intrinsically wrong with being gay.
Welcome back. You are listening to Stand Up Commentary. This is Paul DeWayne. I'm your host tonight. It's a pleasure to be with you. Tonight we're talking about Aikido, which is a martial art that, from my understanding, is a bit unique because it's all about, its goal is peace, not necessarily hurting or disabling one's opponent. And we have two gentlemen here from the dojo here in Salt Lake City that teaches Aikido, Salt Lake Aikikai. We have Jerry and Philippe, who are an assistant instructor and one of the senseis at the dojo. So, gentlemen, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
We were just talking a few minutes ago about the experience that you had of attaining your second degree black belt. And, Philippe, you're talking about being thrown around and how it exhausts one. And there comes a point where the barriers come down. And there's just this underpinning of love and respect between the members there. And Jerry, you were wanting to talk a little bit about this energy that is unique to the Aikido experience. I wanted to hear more about that.
There's three parts to Aikido. One is the do, which is the budo, or the martial aspects, the martial art. Ki is the energy. And sometimes, different arts will call it ki or chi.
Mm-hmm. And when you say, let me pause you for a second, mm-hmm. just for the sake of vocabulary here. When you say martial art, I mean, a lot of us have a kind of a crude understanding of that, but how would you really define what that means?
Well, a martial art is really an art intended to address a combat situation or
okay.
a conflict. So it was martial training, just like we, as we train for war, we train martially.
So combat training, loosely speaking.
Essentially.
Okay, great. Okay, so back to breaking this down.
Yeah, so ki in Aikido is the energy, and then I, as we talked about in the last segment, is the harmony, the connection aspect. So, literally or loosely translated, I guess, way of harmony or way of peace are different translations of Aikido. But the key part of it is really the energy that exists. Some people might view it as spiritual, but we don't often dwell on the spiritual aspects of ki, but more just on the energy, the exchange of energy that happens. And there's definitely kinetic energy. You know, as someone is coming at you with a lot of power, you can take that energy and redirect it. And that's what much of the basis of Aikido is redirecting of energy. Mm-hmm. But you can also, you can direct it away from yourself, or you can also redirect it back at the opponent. And it's very real. And the training that we do trains us to be able to move in such a way that we can harness that energy effectively, and do so without a lot of effort. You know, as Westerners, we tend to really focus on upper body strength and bodybuilding and pumping iron. But you can have very powerful ki and be a small woman that has very little upper body strength if you know how to redirect energy appropriately.
Right. I have a few friends that practice jiu-jitsu, and I've seen them, very small framed people, take big people down. Just understanding leverage and energy and things like that. It's interesting to see happen.
It's really pretty amazing. I'm a pretty big guy. I'm, you know, 220, 6'2".
Yeah.
But there are very small people that we train with who can throw me very effectively.
So let's paint that. Well, before we get into that, I have a lot of questions about what this actually looks like. What was the you talked about O-sensei and him having a religious experience that partially informs the practice of Aikido. What was that?
So, again, I'm not a Aikido history expert, but he was very influenced by a religious leader who formed a religion called Omoto Kyo, which was a neo-Shinto movement. Shintoism is one of the big religions of Japan. You have Shinto and you have Buddhism that are both really big in Japan.
Okay,
so this was a neo-Shinto movement.
Just if it's going to be neo-Shinto, let's quickly define what Shintoism is.
Would you like to define
Shintoism? Could you tell us?
I couldn't.
I can't either.
In
very broad strokes, it's probably harmony with nature is one of the ways you could define it. Yeah, I think that's probably again, I'm not a history expert or a Shinto expert, but he had an experience and he describes a vision that he had. But in the end, and certainly if someone's interested in this, you can read about it on Wikipedia or whatever. Mm-hmm. But in his experience, he developed the idea of universal harmony. And that's the idea that if you were to get enough people working together, that you could ultimately have peace because everybody would just be in harmony with each other. We spend so much of our time in conflict with each other.
Right.
I mean, the history of the world is all about war and conflict, and we see a lot of conflict even here right in our own communities.
You know, and this is something I talk about all the time. I'm borderline obsessed with it. Our culture is rooted in us versus them thinking. Everything from our sports to our politics, and it just seems like I feel like this is one of the illnesses of our society right now, because when you get rooted into the us versus them mentality, it can distract us from asking the relevant question. You know, things like, should you vote for Trump or Hillary? You know, and I don't want to go down that rabbit hole too far, but it exempts other questions like, well, what about this person or what about that person? And it forces – it's almost a – I don't know if it's intentional or not, but it's deceptive in a way.
Right.
And so I'm completely fascinated with this idea of the conflict culture and this different way we can come at
it. So his desire was for universal harmony.
Yeah.
And he believed that training Budo, training martially, was a way to achieve universal harmony.
Mm-hmm.
And do you have something you want to add, Philippe?
No, I just wanted to add that people seem to be living in a constant situation of being attacked.
Right.
And then they need to defend themselves, counterattack better than defend themselves. And it's... with a spouse, it's with the boss, it's with the political approaches to things. That leads to that situation of stress, I think.
Right.
Okay. And you know, when you get stressed, you make stupid decisions. Right. You get you tense up.
Yeah.
Right? And you, first, the first thing you do is you forget to breathe. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And when you forget to breathe, all goes downhill from there. You know? So, this martial art is totally focused on breathing. And breathing is actually a manifestation of ki. So when we say we block the ki, we probably already blocked breathing a long time ago. And anything that comes at you when you stop breathing a long time ago is seen as negatively, and you will react extremely negatively, and you just build negativity on top of negativity. So imagine you could reverse this. Imagine you could physically, in your body, understand that breathing is crucial for you to live your life. It seems quite obvious, though.
Sure.
But people just don't do it.
Right.
Right? And Aikido, and I think O-sensei, really understood that breathing is really important. And so you cannot do Aikido without breathing in a certain fashion. When you see newbies that start Aikido, they do two things. First, they try to mimic the techniques. Therefore, they get stressed by the techniques or their inability to perform the technique. They stop breathing and they think. And Aikido is exactly the opposite. You breathe, you do not think. Your body, your brain, your mind is a white canvas. And you just go with the flow.
Wow.
So when an attack comes to you, and it can be an attack in somebody, you know, giving you a finger in a traffic situation or whatever, right?
Sure.
You just breathe in. Okay? And you just accept that. And you get heavy means you throw that energy that you breathe in down, literally down. And then you just relax automatically. Mm. And then you can deal with the situation. And that's the biggest part. The first several years of training in Aikido, you train that. You train to be comfortable. Okay, you don't know the technique, but you know, who cares? That's not really the important thing. The important thing is you to be in a situation of conflict, relaxed, not thinking about it, and just let things happen. Now, that's a very sophisticated training.
Indeed.
And you can see why he's the sensei and I'm the student.
that.
Because I'm still learning to breathe. I've trained for 7 years and I'm still learning what he just described. And it's not something that is simple or intuitive. Because as you said, when you're new to Aikido, and it wasn't that long ago for me, I started training at age 39, 7 years ago. You don't have to be young to train Aikido. Really, anyone can start training at any age. But when I started training, I was very disharmonious. And that's a big word, but basically when you first start training, you can't even control your body because Aikido is very complex. It's not a simple martial art. It's very, very hard to learn. And when you first do it, you're asked to do things that you've never done before and move your body in ways that it's never moved.
Like what?
In a unified fashion. we tend as Westerners to think in pieces. Like, I've got my head and I've got my hand and I've got my other hand and I've got my legs and so when you try and do something, you focus on just your hand, or you focus on just your arm, or you focus just on your feet, or you try and replicate things, but your body doesn't really work. And so it's so interesting, especially after you've trained for a while, to train with new people, because they're just all over the place and they have very little ability to perform Aikido because they're not in harmony with themselves. And the first step in achieving this universal harmony that O-sensei talked about is learning to harmonize with yourself so that your brain and your body work together instead of against each other.
When you say harmonize with yourself, tell me a little bit more about that.
So when you see something or you're in a situation where you need to react to something, every part of you moves in the same way. Your thoughts and your hands and your feet and your center, your torso, your hips, everything moves in a unified fashion to redirect or direct energy. That's the first step in achieving harmony. And until you can do that, and it's very, very hard, and I would say I'm only there some of the time after 7 years of training, that's the goal, is first to achieve individual harmony. The second step, and this is something that I'm just starting to learn at second degree black belt after training, is, you know, I train two or three times a week, sometimes more. I'm just barely starting to learn to harmonize with my opponent. That's the second step. Once you've got yourself in harmony, you learn how to harmonize with your attacker or your partner or your opponent. And only then, and I think that's a lifelong endeavor, can you move towards universal harmony where you're in harmony with everything.
So a couple of questions for you, Jerry. You mentioned harmonizing with yourself. Is this, and you talked about harmonizing your mind and your body, but is it deeper than that? Is it about harmonizing your inner conflicts? Is it about harmonizing your, is it an emotional thing, or is it really just
I think clearing
your mind and freeing your body? Like, what are we talking about?
No, I think so. We are so often in conflict with ourselves. We don't really know what we want. Sometimes we want this. We have bad habits. We have vices. We have appetites. And we're often in conflict mentally, our minds against our bodies. When you perform Aikido, all that conflict goes away because you can't perform Aikido and be in conflict with yourself.
So in the training of Aikido, do you find making changes in other parts of your life, letting go of addictions, clearing up relationship things, is that part of the game?
Totally.
Is that? Because it's sounding like it is.
Totally.
Okay.
When you start investigating, it's always interesting to ask a question to people. Why did you start Aikido? Or in what phase of your life did you start Aikido?
Yeah.
And there is always a preliminary answer. Especially when people start, they think they started because of that. But when you go back to the same question several years later, they now understand why they started. And there may be addiction. There may be, you know, violence. There may be whatever is there, but deep, deep problems that people seek a solution. And nature typically provide solution to everyone who's looking. And Aikido is an interesting case. I just wanted to add something to this. So, for example, when you have a conflict, okay, and how do you get one with yourself?
Right.
If your head is full of noise and contradictions and frustrations and so on, that's one thing. If you have a conflict, you probably will use force. That's the first reaction.
Sure.
Right? Tense up, block breathing, be ready for the shock.
Right.
Right? And your head is confused, and then the worst happens. In all type of situations, the worst happens. Now, if you, again, breathe and face an attack without using force, and you know, let me tell you, this is not easy, because you have to have super self-confidence to let go of your force when you're being attacked.
Right.
So you need to be centered. You need to be, I don't think, conscious. You just need to react without using force, but being extremely grounded, so heavy, and then you can deflect the attack that's coming at you, which comes with force, but you don't use force.
That's so interesting.
And the attack is gone, resolved. Right. The person will not come back attacking you, because they know they won't come back. Right?
You know, one thing that with beginners, and it doesn't feel like it was very long ago that I was a brand new beginner, we always have to tell them, relax, relax. And I remember Philippe, when we were training together when I was very young, he'd always tap my arms and say, just relax, relax, because we're so used to tensing up, especially in conflict situations, that we can't feel the connection between ourselves and our partner because we're so focused on ourselves, and it blocks any flow of energy. If something is coming towards you very powerfully and you tense up, what does it do? It blocks the energy.
Right.
But if something's coming at you very powerfully and you just draw it in and accept it and release it, you're unaffected, and that energy can flow through freely. So
a crude example of this I'm thinking of is the case studies you hear about drunk drivers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's usually the drunk driver that's hurt the least in an accident because they're drunk and they're fluid and
they're so relaxed.
They don't resist the energy. They just kind of flow with it more, whereas the sober person tenses up and their body absorbs more of that energy in a harmful way. So it's the same kind of principle.
Absolutely.
You're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay.
It is the same.
So, Jerry, you've mentioned that you've been training for 7 years, and you talk about your experience with Aikido as if you're saying things like you're barely beginning to breathe, and here you are, a second-degree black belt, which to me sounds impressive, and you've been doing it for 7 years. So it begs the question, man, why do you keep going? It sounds like a very slow process, and I'm wondering what were the rewards along the way that kept you in that first year?
You know, it is a very hard martial art to learn. Philippe's teacher, who visited from Brazil a couple of months ago, told us, you picked the hardest martial art to learn. And he said something very profound, I thought. He said, anyone can learn how to hurt someone.
Right.
It doesn't take a long time to learn how to hurt someone. And anyone can kill someone. All you have to do is pull out a gun and pull the trigger, and they're dead.
Sure.
But it's very, very hard to learn how to resolve a conflict, a physical conflict, finish it, without hurting your opponent. And so to answer your question in kind of a roundabout way, Aikido training, although it's very, very hard, it's very rewarding right from the beginning.
What were those rewards for you?
It's really the connection that you have with the people that you train with. My best friends, Philippe Sensei is one of my very best and dearest friends, because we have spent so much time training together in a very close physical fashion for so long that we actually have a deeper understanding than many people probably do of their spouses, just
sure.
Because we know how we think, we know how we react, we know how... We know each other very, very well. And Aikido is a non-competitive martial art. We don't try and say, I'm the best, I can kick your butt or whatever. We don't try and dominate. We cooperate. We partner. We train together. And that connection that you develop with people who train regularly with you, that becomes your closest circle of friends in many ways.
This sounds like awesome marriage therapy.
Well,
honestly, like I mean, having been through a failed marriage, as you talk about this, I'm thinking, like, how incredible would it be to have that kind of connection with the person you live with, and to have that level of trust to be able to throw each other around.
I'm not recommending it for every marriage, because my wife might not want you to throw her across the room.
But how would you feel about her throwing you across the room?
I would love it.
But I really recommend couples to perform Aikido and to train Aikido together.
Oh, yeah.
Because it offers a new understanding of who the other person is. So when Jerry says, okay, we know each other very well,
right.
It's not that we spend a lot of time talking about it, but we just spend a lot of time dealing at the molecular level of our bodies.
Sure.
We understand how hard he is, or soft he is, or tall he is, the weight, the reaction, all that is just coming at us kinesthetically through the exercise. And but you know, you asked the question, okay, what benefits? Why do you keep doing this?
Right.
Well, first, there is a lot of people who start and stop doing it. that's the reality of it.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
But on the other side, if you keep at it, you know, and actually very, very quickly, you, to me, I will tell my experience, you know, you sleep much better. You become much more flexible. You learn to be relaxed more, much more than before. You know, I studied Aikido for certain reasons, and being relaxed as much as possible was critical in my career, my professional career.
Which was?
I have an MBA, so I'm dealing with business management,
gotcha,
of company,
sure,
and so on. And
yep,
it's always stressful. There is always a surprise around the corner. So being able to deal with that and deal with people and deal with competitors and deal with new products and whatever.
And it's a lot of fun, too. It actually is really, really enjoyable. It's the highlight of my week to go and get thrown around a room. It's just fun.
That sounds kind of awesome.
But you do have to learn how to fall safely.
And I've got 100 questions about that. I'm sure our listeners do, too. It's time for our Top of the Hour break. So we've got to take a quick break. No, this is a long break. This is Paul Dwayne. I'm your host tonight. Having a very cool conversation. We're talking about, I think, on a broader scale, conflict. Specifically, we're talking about the martial art Aikido. We're speaking with a couple of gentlemen from Salt Lake Aikikai, the dojo, one of the dojos that teaches Aikido here in Salt Lake City. Jerry Carpenter joins us. He's a second degree black belt. He's one of the assistant instructors. And Philippe, I keep destroying your last name. Weifels?
Weifels.
Weifels. Weifels. He's a fourth degree black belt and one of the senseis at the dojo. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
So we've been talking in some pretty broad terms about what Aikido is, what it means, their spiritual underpinnings, all kinds of really cool things. If you missed the first hour of the show, you indeed missed out. You can check it out on the archive. Or those of you that subscribe to my podcast, I'll be putting that out later too at pauldwayne.net. So check that out. And in the next segment of the show, there are a lot of things we could get into here. First and foremost, well, in no particular order, Jerry, before we went to commercial, you were talking a bit about some of your experience with this. We were talking about how long you've had to train and some of the benefits of it. We got into that a bit. You were mentioning that there's kind of a meditative aspect to it. About breathing, and you called it during the break. We want to touch on this meditation in motion.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit more about it, because to meditate, I've always associated that with being very still, clearing your mind, just sitting, the practice of sitting, and this is anything but that.
Well, there is several practices of meditation. I mean, the one that is typically used or taught is sitting meditation, but you have walking meditation, you have all kinds of meditation. Ultimately, you should be able to meditate in a train station, you know, with a lot of people around you.
Right.
That's because meditation is just being aware of yourself and being relaxed and totally open to whatever is happening around you. And that is exactly what Aikido is all about.
It sounds like an exercise in spontaneity.
It's an exercise in spontaneity that comes from your very essence, from your very roots, from something you don't even know is there, maybe. You know, but it's really coming from there, and you have the challenge in Aikido to do that in conflict situations. So when you get to that point of being able to meditate when you're being attacked by someone, I think you reached a pretty nice level of meditation.
Indeed.
And I would like to add to that, because for me, you asked in the last hour why I continue to train,
right?
Week after week, year after year.
Just getting your butt kicked and thrown out of the room.
Well, you get to do a little bit of butt kicking too, but it's a very good stress reliever. You know, I've had a pretty stressful career since I started training Aikido. I was a PR executive for a big public agency that had a lot of public scrutiny.
Yeah, you told me which one, and I would not envy that job whatsoever.
It was very, very stressful. I was often put into situations of even heightened risk as yeah. in that position. It was very, very stressful, and my career now, I'm an advertising executive, which, you know, you're dealing with a lot of clients. It can be very stressful as well. And Aikido is one of my best stress relievers. And when Philippe talks about meditation in motion, when I get to the dojo, it requires all of my concentration. And even more beyond that, it requires me to just empty my mind. Mm. And so while I'm in the dojo, it doesn't matter how stressed out I am, whether it was in my PR job or my current job, I don't think about it when I'm on the dojo. My mind is clear because my mind is focused entirely on the connection and the movement of energy between me and my training partners. So for an hour and a half a session, my mind is completely cleared of all the clutter, all the extra, all of the worries and concerns that we all have in our lives. And it's a very important way to reach my personal equilibrium again. And if I don't train, if I miss a class because I've got, you know, a meeting or another obligation, I really miss it and feel like, oh, it's been forever since I trained Aikido, and maybe it's only been a week.
So imagine you get into the class completely stressed, tired, no energy, you don't want to do anything. The last thing you want to go to is an Aikido class.
Sure.
That's the beginning. And then you start the training, and you start relaxing, and the energy comes back, the ki. Mm-hmm. The energy comes back, you breathe again, and then you leave with so much more energy than you started the whole thing.
It's true. Yep. On Friday, I get there, I'm totally exhausted. By the time I get home, I'm pumped up and excited and just feeling really great.
That sounds amazing. We have to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about the particulars of what this looks like. I'm curious, like if somebody were to attack you on the street, when we go outside after the show, what would go down? So we're going to paint that picture. You know what time it is.
How can I justify myself?
So we're going to hear a few words from our sponsors, and we'll be back here in just a few minutes. Welcome back. You are listening to Stand Up Commentary. This is Paul DeWayne. Tonight we're talking Aikido, the martial art that is based on bringing peace instead of breaking people down. We have two gentlemen here from Salt Lake Dojo talking about this. And Jerry, we and Philippe, we were talking earlier about getting a little more practical in our description here. We've been talking in broad strokes about what it means and what you've gotten out of it, but let's get real here for a second. So let's say you're, you know, walking downtown and somebody attacks you, comes at you fist flying. What's that going to look like? With your goal being to not hurt him back, but to just redirect that energy, what happens?
Well, at its core, it's important to understand that an Aikido practitioner will never initiate an attack.
Right.
We will never be the aggressor. So no matter what situation you're in, I will never be the first one to throw a punch or a kick or a grapple or anything like that. Aikido is based on the principle of receiving the attack. And so if someone comes in attempting to punch you in the face or punch you in the stomach or mm-hmm. whatever, the first principle is to move out of the way. You don't want to get hit. It doesn't matter what else you do. If you're not in the way, you're not going to get hit.
Right.
So movement is very important.
Sounds like a very acute awareness as well.
That's the connection. That's the connection that we've been talking about. You need to train yourself to the point that you can anticipate the attack. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Osensei, the founder, was legendary for being able to anticipate an attack before it was even formed as a thought, practically, by the person who is attacking him. So,
I wanted to throw something in here. I'm friends with Genpo Roshi, and I've talked to him. Do you know Roshi? We've talked a bit about what his training is like and what would happen in that world. And one of the things I've heard about training in Zen Buddhism is that there comes a time when your Zen master will have a wooden sword or a cane or something, and as you're going about your business in the dojo, he'll attack you just out of nowhere and just launch these ridiculous surprise attacks. And for a while, you're just getting beat up all the time. But there comes a point, as it was explained to me, that your mind, you develop this new kind of awareness where you can almost see out of the back of your head and you can deflect and anticipate and defend yourselves against these attacks in a kind of a crazy way. Is that what you're talking about here?
That's exactly what it is.
Really enhanced awareness.
And you can only do that if you relax. Again, we're back to the breathing,
right,
relaxation, and so on. So the enhanced awareness is very important. So if you walk in the street, lost in your thoughts, not realizing what's happening behind you, you're not a good Aikidoka. So you just have to be always aware. And typically, if you are aware, there will be no attack to start with.
Mm.
But if there is an attack, you have a lot more chance to do the right thing about it, you know. And it's just down to earth like that. I mean, it's really simple. More training makes it easier also.
So what is this? How would you describe that mental shift where you go from not being able to anticipate incoming attacks to this hyper-awareness where you are so in tune with what's going on around you? It sounds almost superhuman in a way.
You know, it's a lifelong pursuit, and I don't think I'm anywhere close to having that hyper-awareness, but I would say that I'm more aware now than I was when I started.
How about you, Philippe? Was there a moment of enlightenment where you had a breakthrough, or is it more of just a steady, slow continuum? What's that like?
There was no enlightenment. You know, it's just, you know, Aikido, everybody can do Aikido. You just have to keep going at it, doing it for a long time. And ultimately, you'll get there, because it's nothing paranormal. Mm-hmm. It's nothing beyond human possibilities.
Right.
It is just revealing the human possibilities. So you just do it, you're going to get there. Mm. There's absolutely no doubt. Now, a lot of people drop on the way, but that's their problem.
Sure.
You know, but if you'll get there. You have these skills. It's just human. Cannot be paranormal.
Gotcha. So let's get back to this attack, this hypothetical attack. So you're saying the first item of business is to be so
get out of the way
that you just dodge it.
Just get out of the way, and it's not even dodge it. It's just don't get hit.
Okay.
And there's a subtle nuance there, because dodging might be you're jumping out of the way or leaping out of the way or ducking or something. Not getting hit is moving just enough that they don't hit you. And
so
this can be centimeters.
I see.
And in fact, the less you move, the more effective it is, because it requires less energy. Mm. The other thing that's I think very important about Aikido is entering. So often in combat fight situations, people want to get away. They back off, or they hesitate.
Uh-huh.
But Aikido, there's no hesitation. Once you've moved out of the way to make sure you're safe, you immediately enter. And there's lots of different ways to entering, lots of different entering techniques. But essentially, you're taking your power zone and moving in such a way that you take away their power. So if you imagine someone coming at you swinging a baseball bat.
Okay.
Okay, it's swinging in a wide arc. Someone who's playing baseball, there's a sweet spot on the baseball bat where they want to make connection with that ball, where it's got the most power and the most force.
Right.
Where is that on the bat? It's towards
kind of
the end.
The thick part.
It's a little more towards the end.
Yeah.
If you try and hit it up at the narrow part where you're holding, what happens? It's not going to be very effective.
Sure.
Because as the bat swings, the end of the bat is moving the fastest, and the part that you're holding is moving very slowly. Well, if someone's coming at you swinging a bat, the safest place to be is inside that swing. So you enter into the swing. It would be the same if someone's coming at you with a roundhouse punch. You move into the attack, and then you can perform various techniques to throw them down, to pin them, to apply a pressure point. But the most important thing is to take your energy and move into it and take away any energy that they have. That's one form of Aikido. There's lots of different forms of techniques, and maybe
so
you can build on that.
Yeah, so the nuance there is this. I mean, you can, you escape somebody hitting you with a bat. There's several ways to do that, right? You can retreat. Whoop,
sure.
The guy missed me, right?
Yeah.
But you may be sure of one thing. he's going to come back
right away. Swing again.
It's not over.
Because you're retreating. So you're afraid. You're retreating. Okay, you were clever enough or aware enough so that that very quickly swinging point of the bat did not hit you. Maybe by, you know, I don't know, an inch or something like that, you're safe. But he's coming still.
Yeah.
So the only way to you for you to really break that coming into you is you to go into the person that's attacking you. Because then you take his or her center, and now it becomes yours. So you enter, as Jerry said.
Right.
You enter into the movement, and then the other person is helpless.
So what would that look like, hypothetically?
Well, you imagine the bat swinging at you.
Okay.
And you go inside. Grab the bat and throw the person.
Okay.
Because you're inside.
Sure. Like, get really close into their body and into their zone.
So the other thing that most Aikido techniques end with is taking the person to the ground. There's ways to take people to the ground softly, and there's ways to take people to the ground hard.
Uh-huh.
And there's two parts of Aikido training. There's receiving the attack and performing and taking the role of the attacker. And so if you're being the aggressor, if I'm coming at Philippe Sensei with a bat, he's going to throw me. He's going to take the bat away and throw me to the ground. And so as an Aikidoist, I have to learn how to fall safely because you get thrown a lot. And so we learn. And in fact, if someone goes on YouTube and watches an Aikido video, sometimes it looks choreographed because the movements are so flowing and so gentle because we've just learned how to fall down safely. If you get thrown 10,000 times, you learn how to fall safely.
Sure.
or you die, one of the two.
Yeah.
But as an Aikidoist, the ground is our friend. For most people, the ground is not your friend because most people really don't know how to fall. And so if I enter into an attacker and throw them to the ground, it's going to hurt.
Right.
And most of the time, it's going to hurt them enough that they're not going to want to get up.
So, Philippe, you mentioned something about Jerry's black belt certification or his that, I don't know what you call it.
Test.
Your test. And how for 20, 30 minutes, you just got thrown around and then you were just completely exhausted. Is that really the essence of victory over your opponent, is to just exhaust them with their own,
no.
Let them exhaust themselves on you? Or what's the...
No, because there's no victory.
Oh,
right?
Okay. Okay.
You just make the other one suffer if you want, to use a non-Aikido term, because actually he's not suffering. Right, he's accepting the training. He's just
right.
Yeah, he's out of breath. He's completely exhausted. But what you want to do is get to a point where his mind just opens. Okay, but the you do that with love, means you do that with the intention of developing the other one. You do that with the intention of making him for himself appear his own skills. So there is a lot of things we do in Aikido that are called pins, for example. Okay? And we tackle people on the ground and we pin them. These pins can be very effective, and you can just break the joints, because you go for the joints, right? You break the joints of somebody that will never come back up to attack you if you do that, because it's extremely painful and it takes.
So breaking joints, that sounds pretty aggressive.
It is very aggressive, but the intention we do this is actually a stretch. So there is it's very subtle. You can stretch a joint,
uh-huh.
Or if the person doesn't cooperate, you just break the joint.
Right.
It's very close to each other. Okay, but when you train Aikido, you train to be stretched more and more, so that actually you get a free massage, and you're very happy to receive this gift, and the other one is very happy to give the gift,
right?
And that's what creates friendships ultimately, right?
So this is kind of
great. It hurts.
It sounds terrible.
Okay? It hurts. It really hurts.
So for the first hour of the show, this sounded all lovey dovey, like we're never going to hurt anybody. And now you're saying, well, we can break their joints.
You know,
this sounds like, I mean, I feel like for the first little while we've been painting this picture of Aikido being this very soft-spoken, caring ideology, but now you're talking about permanently disabling somebody.
So, yeah, but we never do that.
But if you needed to.
If you needed to.
You know, when we train Aikido, we train, there's different ways of training, but mostly we train traditional Aikido, which is the canonized form of Aikido, which can appear very soft. You know, we do feints instead of actual, we don't actually punch people, we just feint to take their balance. We do pins as stretches instead of, you know, breaking joints or really hurting someone. But in all of the Aikido techniques, there are hidden movements, hidden things that actually are very martial in their origins. You know, a knee to the face or an elbow to the throat or, you know, broken ribs, different things like that. All of those are there and they're implied and can be applied very effectively. And I don't know if we'll go into it much, but, you know, there are trained police officers who use Aikido actively on the street in a very martial fashion against other Aikido other martial art practitioners and use it extremely effectively because they apply it in a martial style. And what that is it's just intended to be a little bit harder and take people down quickly and quickly resolve a situation. Now, the value of Aikido in a policing situation, for example, is that you can quickly take someone out of commission so that you're then free to deal with other situations.
Right.
And we do train, knife takeaways, gun takeaways, and how to deal effectively with other implements like a baseball bat.
Right. So this is like very real world stuff.
It can be very, very applicable in a real world situation. Yeah.
Applications. That's really cool. I'm getting more and more curious about this as the time goes on. We're going to take a break here in a minute, but when we come back, I want to jump into a couple of topics that we've been discussing. We're going to talk about the you mentioned there's a very international spread of Aikido. We're going to talk about that, where it's been, where it's going, some relationship applications of this. Philippe, we've been kind of flirting with that idea a little bit, and I want to jump into that. And as always, you guys can call in with your questions at 801-254-5855. But in the meantime, we are going to hear from our sponsors here for a second. But before that comes on, if people are curious about checking out Aikido, how can they find you guys?
If you search Aikido in Salt Lake City on Google, we'll come up right at the top. It's Salt Lake Aikikai or saltlakeaikikai.com.
And that's spelled
Salt Lake, SALTLAKE, Aikikai, AIKIKAI.com.
Cool. Very cool. All right, folks, we're going to be back in just a couple minutes. Hey, I hope you're enjoying today's show. If you're curious to learn more about Aikido or about the Salt Lake Aikikai Dojo, stop by the show notes. Go over to pauldewane.net. That's PAULDUANE.net. And you'll find a link there. It's a picture of the three of us. And you'll be able to click in there and find links to their dojo and just a little bit more information about Aikido in general. So check it out. Anyway, there we go. Back to the show. Welcome back. You're listening to Stand Up Commentary. This is Paul Dewayne. We are talking about Aikido today. We've got some gentlemen in from how many dojos are there in town that teach Aikido?
There are several.
Okay.
We are one of the oldest. There's a newer one called Aikido Mountain West that has some fantastic Aikido practitioners that train there. There are dojos in Provo and in Ogden, Logan. Aikido is actually there's a lot of Aikido practitioners here in Utah.
Let's jump on the line. We've got calls coming in. Hey, caller, you're on the air. What's your name?
Adam,
what's your question?
Well, I don't know the subject because I've been distracted.
Oh, I see. We're talking about Aikido today.
Aikido's own. I was thinking about the crooked cop thing, and I'm thinking the only crooked cop I can come up with, thinking into it really deep, would be that breathalyzer.
Sorry, I'm not quite sure where you're going with that.
Okay. Never mind. I'm off the subject. I'll listen in. Thanks. Have a good night.
Sounds good. Thank you so much. The number here in the studio is 801-254-5855. We're talking about Aikido. And one of the things that you've mentioned is that on the website anyway, there's a heritage of who taught who and the origins of it all. Tell us a little bit about what the origins of your dojo and why that's important and, you know, why it matters who taught who along the way.
Yeah, well, our dojo started, 12 years ago? Almost 12. We're in the 12th year. And basically, it was founded by Richard Sano and David Iannucci. Richard Sano is still with us. David moved to Hawaii and is training over there. And then I took over from him. But everybody has a different history. Richard, for example, is a high-level karate practitioner. And then he decided to move from karate to Aikido many years ago. I don't remember exactly when. And he had good teachers along the way. David Iannucci was training in Japan because he lived in Japan. So you have all these connections. And I learned Aikido when I was living in Brazil and discovered my master over there. And then when I moved here, I blended in with the other dojos and then life continues that way. So it's really what is important is that all these teachings of Aikido, even if they're different from teacher to teacher, they all come back to Morihei Ueshiba, O sensei.
Right.
Ultimately, it all came back. There is a lineage, and you can literally trace the path that the knowledge you received got through to you. And that's very interesting, because then you have all the notion of respect toward the teacher, and also the notion of obligation you have, or you need to transmit this to other people so that it continues.
Right.
And Aikido has been growing, enormously, and it's an international discipline. You have dojos all over the world. They're all connected to the dojo in Tokyo called Hombu Dojo, and Hombu Dojo was run by O-sensei, then his son, his grandson, and we're now getting to the third generation. So you have that lineage that is a beautiful concept. I think also that the older you get, the more knowledge you have in Aikido. So more respect is given.
Right.
And which have values that not always in the West are traditionally applied anymore. So this is important.
Jerry.
You know, I'd like to talk a little bit about the international aspect. I think Aikido really in some ways is an international language because there are so many people who practice this form of communication, and it really is a form of communication. We have had many people of different countries and ethnic origins train with us. Philippe, of course, he's from Belgium and came to Salt Lake by way of Brazil, where he began training Aikido. Richard Sano is Japanese. We had a woman visiting here with a convention who was from Australia who came and trained with us a few times. Mm. We've had people from Spain, from the Middle East, from
Germany,
England,
Switzerland,
all over the world. And we have just an incredible interest on an international level. And when I tested for my first degree black belt, I was able to go to Japan for that test.
Wow!
I was able to test from one of the teachers of David Iannucci Sensei that Philippe mentioned, who's one of the founders of our dojo. And so when I went to Japan, I was able to go to the world headquarters in Tokyo.
Was started by O Sensei,
right? Okay. And now the head of that organization is O-sensei's grandson, Morateru Ueshiba. And it was an amazing experience because there were people from all over the world there training at that dojo at the same time that I was. And I wasn't able to speak with most of them. There were Russians, there were French, there were Africans, people from all over the world who had come there to train. And it was completely comfortable and completely natural because we were all speaking this common language right. of the art.
What does that mean to get your black belt, your first degree black belt? What did you need to do? What does that mean to you? What does that mean in the construct of the community?
As kind of a joke maybe in a little bit of way, we say that once you receive your black belt, you're a serious beginner. Because that means you're finally serious about the art.
Yeah.
So I definitely don't view it as an end, but a beginning.
Right.
It means basically that you can fall down and not hurt yourself.
No, but basically you have to be able to practice all basic techniques, without really thinking.
Yeah.
Right.
But
that's really what's important. So you know the notes on the music page.
Sure.
And then you
right.
then you start singing.
Right.
That's a very good analogy because you could go to our website and link over to the Aikikai World the headquarters website where they have a list of all the test requirements. And it's essentially, at the end of the day, you have to be able to perform any Aikido technique from any attack, either from standing or kneeling position. And so you do need to know a lot of different techniques at a level of competency that you can be considered ready to receive a black belt. But it really is just learning the notes. It's like if you're learning the piano and you finally learned how to read music and to play the notes, but that doesn't make you a master pianist.
Sure.
It just means that you know how to play the piano a little bit. And
right.
so it really is a beginning.
You're not looking at your fingers anymore.
You're not looking at your fingers every time.
Right.
You still look once in a while, but not every time.
Okay. So that's what black belt might equate to, that level of proficiency.
And it took me about nearly 5 years
sure.
of regular training. So it's not something, we're not a black belt factory.
Yeah.
You definitely have to be dedicated. We have many people who come and try Aikido who don't have the persistence to reach that point because it does require dedication and it requires a lot of hard work.
Right. Culturally, where do you see this expanding more? Are there certain parts of the world that seem to take it up more? Or, you mentioned the international interest of it, but where do you see the real hot spots happening?
It's definitely very popular in the U.S. There's
it's
many
very popular
organizations.
In the U.S. Where it's strong, of course, is Japan
sure.
for historical reasons. I mean, in the U.S., it came through Hawaii very quickly. In France, it's very, very strong. But I trained in Brazil, and there is a lot of Aikido in Brazil.
Right.
In Argentina, and all
Russia.
South America. And then now in Russia, Romania, and there is, Aikido in the Persian Gulf.
Right.
So it's a... It's really growing everywhere.
We had a caller comment here wanting to know if either of you have read Angry White Pajamas.
No, I don't.
I can't say I have.
No.
Okay. All right. So there you go. Let's, Philippe, we've been talking about this for a minute. Let's jump into it, the relationship applications.
Okay. All right.
Because I've been thinking about this the whole time we've been talking about, because so many times I think that is the essence of a good relationship is that being able to deal with incoming verbal energy, verbal attacks, the emotional energy. So in a lot of times in relationship, it's not necessarily a fist coming at you, hopefully, but it's other kinds of aggression and knowing how to play with that or dissipate or whatever. I'm so interested how the practice of Aikido translates into the intimate world.
Well, I was listening to a guy he said that, in relationship nowadays, people are much more demanding than it was the case 100 years ago.
Yeah.
And 100 years ago, if your husband was providing you with bread to feed your kids and, was not beating too much the kids and not drinking too much and not fooling around too much. I mean, that was quite acceptable, right?
Right?
Everybody was happy. And though the level of expectation was very low. But if you I'm talking generalities here, of course. But if currently, I think people really want more and want to make the effort to want more.
Right. Everybody wants their partner to be their best friend, their lover, the parent of their children, their all these things.
The support, and it's actually possible. I truly believe that.
Right.
It's possible, but it requests you to develop some skills.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was listening to that particular person, I could not help but think that Aikido skills are really, really, really useful in this thing. Because basically what kills relationship, I think, is conflict.
Right.
Unresolved conflict.
Right.
Conflict that build up on top of each other. It's because you may love someone, but you end up in conflict. Therefore, you reach a point where you say, it's not worth my while anymore. And by the way, I could fall in love with somebody else and you have all the hormones games and it's going to be very easy at the beginning, right, with another relationship. So that's where people typically go. But if you can deal with the conflict in a positive fashion, because dealing with the conflict is, in Aikido means you're not relaxed and passive. You're active and you direct where the situation goes. But you direct not from your point of view, but from the point of view of both attacker and attacked, so that it ends up in a location in the space, for example, on the ground or wherever, that can only be the result of the force of the energy of these two fighters, if you want. Okay, so you're not going to direct exactly where you want, but because it depends on the other one.
Sure.
Well, so if you have an intention of helping the other person together with you go to the place you all want to go, that's a pretty nice definition of dealing with a good relationship.
Do you think that it's important that both people in a relationship are trained in these sort of Aikido mentalities, or can one practitioner be enough to bring a relationship along?
Well, I think that enough, that's difficult to say. I wish I had the answer to the question.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that if both, because I know people who in couple practice Aikido, or actually in family practice Aikido, so the parents and the kids practice Aikido. These are nice families. These are harmonious families. On top of having an experience together, they really learn life skill that is really useful and builds good, nice, you know, supporting relationships. But we don't know, one person practicing Aikido will be able to deal with the whole relationship. Not necessarily, but I cannot say either that two people doing Aikido will have necessarily a perfect relationship.
Jerry?
You know, one thing that I think applies here, one of Osinsi's teachings was that in order to understand Aikido and perform Aikido, you need to destroy the ego. The ego is self-centeredness. It's thinking about yourself, thinking about your priorities and what's important to you. And when you perform Aikido in a martial fashion, if you're worried about you, you're not doing it right, because the only way it's really going to be effective and powerful is if you take the energy of the other person and use that to resolve the conflict. And so you can't do that with ego. If you're all worried about yourself and focused on yourself, you're missing all of the important information that will lead you to successfully resolve the conflict. And I think it's the same thing in a relationship. If you're all worried about yourself,
right,
you're not going to have a positive outcome. And so it comes back to that connection,
yeah,
and that harmony. And one of the ways to develop that true harmony is to learn to forget about yourself and get rid of your ego. And it's very, very hard to do.
What has that looked like in your life?
I have a very big ego. Okay. I still do. But one thing that about training Aikido is it can be very humbling.
I know your wife's listening, so you're really on the spot right now. So anyway, go ahead. No pressure.
Aikido is very hard. Just like having a good relationship can be very hard.
Yeah.
It's very hard. And as you train Aikido, you frequently have these moments, these epiphanies that you've been training for 5 years and you suddenly realize you know absolutely nothing.
Right.
And that's very good ego therapy because it's a humbling experience. And, you know, I think successful relationships are based on mutual humility where you're both willing to give, you're both willing to not think about yourself. And that's the antithesis to the ego where you're always worried about yourself.
So let's talk. I want to see if I think I see the analogy forming here. You know, we talked a little bit about the experience of dealing with an incoming attack, and if you are tense, if you're, you're probably going to get hit or hurt. And with this, forgetting about the ego, let me see if I'm conceptualizing this right. You know, in the hand-to-hand combat aspect of this, what I'm getting from you guys is it's all about paying very, very close attention to your attacker and not thinking about you, not thinking about the potential incoming pain, just like really being in tune to what they're doing so you can step into the safe zones and redirect their energy. Would this be similar to in relationship? Would this be the same kind of thing as because when you get into an argument, a lot of times you can get hung up on, well, they said this to me, and this means this to me, and this, you know, that they've offended this sensibility in my world. And is that that rigidness? Is that, am I translating it right? Sense? What do you think, Philippe?
Yeah, I mean, you one of the problems in relationship is that both try to be right.
Right.
I'm right. Mm-hmm. Then you're wrong. Right. Well, the humility Jerry's talking about puts all that into question. We don't know if we're right. Just let's play together and find where it goes.
Hmm.
You know, open up, start with a blank
The
mind.
The truth is somewhere in between. It always is.
Ah.
And it doesn't matter whether it's a physical encounter or a mental or emotional or whatever. The truth is somewhere in between. And as long as you think the truth resides with you, you're going to lose. And if you think the truth resides with the other person, you're going to lose. The truth is in the middle. And that's where that harmony, that connection happens. And it's different every single time. Every time you have every time you train with a different partner, they're coming at you at a different speed, or they're a different height, or a different weight, or they've had a good day or a bad day, or you've had a good day or a bad day. Every time it's different, and so the only way that you can truly achieve harmony is just to be open and let it happen and see where it takes you. And I think that's very applicable in relationships. Every time it's going to be different, and so you just have to learn to find where that truth is in the middle.
Mm. And having, I've observed in my own experience that having a lot of predetermined ideas about what the relationship should and shouldn't look like and what success is and isn't, having these very rigid rules, is almost every time a recipe for disaster. And that's what I'm thinking of here is this idea that you brought up earlier, that there is Aikido doesn't have a competitive aspect to it. There's not a construct of winning or losing. So how does a match go? You know, that being said, like, what is the essence of the beginning? What constitutes the end of a match? Is there a such thing as a match? Like, let's bring that idea of the physical, the martial match back around to the emotional encounter.
There's no match.
Okay.
In Aikido.
Ah.
Really. Because first, it's very short, typically.
Uh-huh.
It cannot be long. I mean, so typically, one attacks, and actually, we never train attacks, sophisticated attacks, but somebody has to attack because otherwise there's no defense.
Sure.
Right? And then something is applied. End of the story. Resolve the situation as soon as possible.
Yeah.
Sometimes we train counterattack, change of attacks. That is when it is an attack defense situation. We have other types of training, which is like we were talking about, the Jiuaza, where somebody comes over and over and over again, but actually the person that comes over and over and over again trains his own or her own way to fall and to come back. Mm-hmm. So get thrown on the floor and immediately use that jumping board to come back up. So that's another type of thing. Nobody wins, nobody loses.
At the end of the day, our goal is not to win the fight. Our goal is to not lose the fight.
Hmm.
And it's a different, there's a subtle nuance there.
What would that mean to lose the fight from an Aikido perspective?
You just don't lose.
You just don't lose.
Oh. You finish the encounter in a way that you don't lose. But you're not. Your objective is not to win the fight. It's not to beat up the other guy or hurt the other guy. It's just to end the situation and
that's
make
so
sure.
That's so counter to our Western way of thinking.
Oh, very much.
What do you mean? There's no win? There's no way to win this thing? That's not even a part of the vocabulary?
There's no win in a conflict situation. Nobody wins. And so you just have to eliminate the conflict.
If somebody wins, somebody loses, right?
Sure.
Well, here everybody wins.
Everybody wins.
At the end, if you are on the ground, you win a massage. You get stretched.
Yeah, Jerry gave my wrist a little quote-unquote massage during the break.
It doesn't mean it's not painful, because it can be very painful.
It was, yeah.
But at the end of the day, I didn't break your arm.
No, but you totally could have. It became really evident. Yeah. Well, guys, we're very close to the end of the show. Is there anything besides your contact information, which we'll get to, that you want people to know about Aikido? Any closing thoughts?
I would say it's for anyone, any age.
Mm-hmm.
We've trained with people as young as 4 years old.
Wow.
And a sensei was well into his 80s and actively practicing Aikido. The thing about Aikido is because it's all physics-based, the better you get at it, the less physical strength it requires. And so you can really start at any age, and you can train at any level. So it's Aikido is for everyone, men and women, young and old. And it's very enjoyable and actually very safe as a martial art.
Yeah, I've known people who have started, 70 years old and could not sit down what we call in Seiza, like the Japanese sit on their knees and so on. They could not. And you know what? After a couple of months, they were able to do it and started training Aikido.
Well, gentlemen, we're out of time. If you guys, those of you that want to check it out, you can go to Salt Lake Aikikai. That's AKIKAI.com. Or just Google Salt Lake Aikido. You'll find it. Gentlemen, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Brilliant.
Thank you very much.
So that's a wrap. I hope you've enjoyed today's show. If you like what we're doing here on The Paul DeWayne Show, please share it with a friend. It means a lot to get new audience members. Also, feel free to connect with me on social media, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, at The Paul DeWayne, at THEPAULDUANE, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. I'll see you guys soon.